Welcome back, everyone, to the Deep Dive. We're diving into public safety this time, and you guys gave us a really cool way to do it, this fictional podcast episode called Safe Streets, A Community on Edge. I gave it a listen. It's really well done. They set it in this fictional town, Pineville, and they're dealing with this like wave of crime that's got everybody kind of on edge.
Yeah, and it seems like the writers did the research.
Yeah.
Because we've got research articles here. We've got, you know, reports. We've even got your notes to look at this topic from all these different angles.
Yeah. And what I liked is like, it's not just throwing statistics at you, you know?
Right.
It really like puts a human face on it.
It does.
Like with Sandra Cooper.
Yes.
This mom who is like terrified to even let her kids walk to school alone.
Yeah. She represents like a lot of the parents in the town.
It really shows you like the emotional toll this is taking on everybody, you know?
It does.
And speaking of the town, Pineville's mayor, this guy Robert Dean, he's running on the Safe Streets platform.
Of course.
Promising more police, more surveillance cameras. That's what he's going to do.
Well, it's interesting because that is such a classic approach. And we see that debated in real life all the time.
All the time.
And it immediately made me think of like the broken windows theory.
Oh, yeah.
The whole idea that if you let even small crimes go unchecked.
Yeah.
It creates an environment where like worse crime is going to happen.
It creates that atmosphere.
Exactly. But then there's that other side of it.
Yeah.
Like what about when you have too much policing?
Too heavy-handed.
Yeah. Does that erode trust? Does that lead to more tension?
So it's like you need to strike a balance.
It is. It's a balancing act.
Security and freedom.
Exactly.
But it's not just a theoretical debate in Pineville.
Right.
Because we meet Detective Mariah Silva.
Yes.
This like seasoned officer. She's seen it all.
She has. And you know what I like about her? She's not just a tough on crime stereotype.
Yeah.
She genuinely wants to keep her town safe.
Yeah.
But she's not buying the mayor's simplistic approach.
There's more cops, less crime.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not just a hunch.
Oh, really?
She's got a reason to be skeptical.
Okay, I'm curious.
So it turns out she used to run this youth outreach program.
Oh, wow.
And it was super successful, like really preventing crime.
Really?
Then, you know, budget cuts.
Ugh, the classic.
They had to shut it down. Ow. And it's just like that perfect example of how
short-sighted decisions can actually make communities less safe.
It's not just about, like, throwing money at the police, right?
Right.
It's about taking this more holistic approach.
So looking at the root causes instead of just reacting after the crime's already happened.
Exactly. And speaking of seeing things from the ground level.
Yeah.
We also meet Officer Jake Adams, who really gives us a glimpse into, like, what it's like to be a police officer in this community that's so on edge.
I bet that's tough.
It's intense. There's this one scene where he responds to, like, a false alarm.
Oh, no.
And he ends up confronting this teenager who's literally just out for a jog.
Oh, God, that sounds rough.
I know.
How did that go?
Well, it thankfully doesn't escalate into anything serious.
Okay, good.
But it really just shows how easily things can get out of hand.
Yeah.
Even when everybody's got good intentions.
Yeah, right, right.
And it just made me think, like, you know, this whole thing of having to be constantly vigilant.
Yeah.
Does that actually create more anxiety than it does safety?
It's a good question.
You know, for both the police and the community.
Totally. And then we have Mick Perez.
Yes.
Who I love, this retired firefighter.
The community activist.
He's like all about empowering the community.
He is. Less about, you know, law enforcement and more about like, what can we do ourselves?
Right.
And he's got this like, you can just feel his energy, you know?
Yeah.
He's so enthusiastic about making Pineville safe.
He really seems like he gets it, that like true security comes from within the community.
He does.
If people feel connected, empowered, they're more likely to look out for each other.
Exactly, and take those proactive steps.
Instead of waiting for something bad to happen.
Right, he's like, look, there will always be people who break the law, but if we have this strong community, we can deter crime. We can make it so it's less likely to even happen in the first place.
And he's not just talking, right?
No.
He's getting people to actually do stuff.
He is.
Like Sandra Cooper, the mom we were talking about.
Yes.
She gets involved in his initiatives.
He's got that effect on people.
Yeah.
He makes them want to take action.
So we've got the mayor who wants more police, the detective who wants a more like nuanced approach, the officer on the street dealing with all this tension, and then Mick who's rallying the residents to take control of their own safety.
It's like this microcosm of the debate that's happening everywhere.
Everywhere.
About how to handle this issue of public safety.
And it sounds like it all comes to a head at this town council meeting.
It does.
Where they have to decide how to allocate their resources.
Oh yeah, and this is where it gets good, because it's not just talk anymore.
Right.
These are real decisions with real consequences for people.
This is where the rubber meets the road.
It is.
It's like the showdown.
It is. You've got Mayor Dean and all his supporters saying, you know, we need to increase police funding.
Right.
That's the quickest way to get results.
Make people feel safe right away.
Exactly. But then you've got Mick and his whole group saying, hold on.
Yeah.
Just reacting to crime isn't going to solve anything.
It's putting a Band-Aid on a bigger problem.
It is. They're pushing for that long-term strategy.
Addressing the root causes.
Exactly. Things like Mick's after-school programs, the neighborhood watch.
Right. Building that sense of community.
Yeah. So it's that classic dilemma.
Short-term versus long-term.
And it's happening everywhere, not just Pineville.
Every town, every city.
But then here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay, tell me.
Detective Silva, the one who is so skeptical of the mayor.
Yeah.
She steps up to the microphone.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I want to know what she says.
Me too. She's been quiet so far.
She has. And then she gives this like powerful testimony.
Really?
Drawing on her years of experience. You know, she's seen a lot.
What does she say?
She basically says, look, law enforcement is important, but it's not the whole answer.
Okay.
She's like, we need these preventative measures too. Things like youth outreach, community engagement.
Oh, wow.
Even basic things like emergency response training.
Yeah.
She thinks those can be just as effective in making a community safe.
So she's not saying get rid of the police.
No, no.
But she's saying there's more to it.
There's got to be more. And what's so powerful is that she's not just some outsider giving her opinion.
Right. She's in the trenches.
She is.
Yeah.
She's speaking from experience, you know, from years on the force.
So the council's got to be listening to that.
Oh, yeah, they are. And it's like she's advocating for this more balanced, evidence-based approach.
Not just going with your gut, but actually looking at the data.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's so refreshing because, you know, these issues always get framed as like this either.
Pick a side.
Yeah. But she's showing them it's more complicated than that.
It's nuanced.
It is. And you know what? It reminds me of what you always say about critical thinking.
Oh, yeah.
Detective Silva, she's not just blindly following orders or sticking to some outdated idea.
She's thinking for herself.
She is. She's questioning, evaluating, looking for what actually works.
And she's brave enough to speak up about it?
She is.
Yeah.
Even when it might not be the popular opinion.
So what happens? Does the council, like, side with one side or the other?
Well, they have this decision to make.
Yeah.
Like, do they go all in on one approach?
Right.
Or do they try to find some kind of compromise?
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, they actually end up compromising.
Oh, wow. Really?
I know. They approve more funding for the police.
Okay.
Recognizing that, yeah, people want to see that visible presence.
Right.
But they also give a big chunk of the budget to Mick and his community programs.
So they're doing a little bit of both.
They are. And it's like they're acknowledging that different communities have different needs. There's no one-size-fits-all solution.
And you know what? That's something that often gets lost in all the political back and forth.
It does. So it's kind of cool to see a story that actually gets that.
So how does this compromise play out? Like, does anything actually change in Pineville?
Well, first thing that happens is the attitude in the community shifts.
Really? In what way?
People start feeling like they're not just helpless, you know?
Like they can actually do something.
They can. They're not just waiting for the police to save them.
It's empowering.
It is. And I think that's a big part of feeling safe, you know?
Yeah, if you feel like you have some control.
You're not just going to be paralyzed by fear.
Exactly. So does this play out in any of the characters' stories?
It does. Sandra Cooper.
The mom.
She actually becomes like a leader in organizing the neighborhood watch.
That's great.
And we see her anxiety start to lessen as she gets more involved.
She's channeling that energy into something positive.
She is. And what about Officer Adams?
Oh, yeah. What happens with him?
He volunteers for that youth program.
Really?
And we see him start to build relationships with some of the kids he sees on his patrols.
That's so cool.
It is. Instead of just seeing them as potential troublemakers, he's getting to know them.
Humanizing them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's Detective Silva.
Okay, what about her?
Well, she doesn't just sit back and watch. She becomes like a mentor to some of the teens in town.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah, the ones who are interested in you know, maybe like public safety careers.
Oh, so she's showing them that there's all these different ways to help to make a difference.
She is. It's like she's planting those seeds for the future.
Not just putting more cops on the street, but raising up a new generation.
Who understand the issues.
Yeah.
And believe in those community solutions.
So what's the end result? I mean, does Pineville actually become safer?
It does. The story wraps up with crime rates going down and this like renewed sense of community.
So it's like they finally broke out of that cycle of fear and just reacting to everything.
Yeah, they realized that safety isn't just about, you know, calling the police. Yeah. It's about everybody working together, building trust.
It's about feeling connected.
It is.
I gotta say, this fictional episode, they did a really good job of showing just how complicated this whole issue is.
They did. There's no easy answer, no magic solution.
It's messy.
It is. And I think that's what makes it so real.
Yeah. You can't just like throw money at the problem and expect it to go away.
Exactly. You got to be willing to listen to different perspectives.
Look at the data, see what's actually working.
And be open to trying new things.
You know, one of those articles you sent me talked about how important it is to actually measure the success of these different approaches.
Oh, yeah. That's crucial.
Not just say, okay, we need more police or we need more community programs. But actually track the data.
See that it's making a difference.
Right. And also think about those unintended consequences.
Oh, absolutely. Like if you increase surveillance everywhere, does that make people feel less free?
Yeah, good point.
Or if you have certain police tactics, does that damage trust between the police and the community?
These are tough questions.
They are, but we got to ask them.
You know, and with your background in social work,
yeah.
I'm sure you've seen how all this plays out in real life.
I have, definitely. And what really stood out to me in the podcast was that focus on early intervention.
Okay.
Like, especially with young people, addressing those root causes.
Instead of waiting till they're already in trouble with the law.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so much more effective to support them, give them opportunities.
It's like preventative health care.
It is. And this story really shows how powerful they can be.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's like the one big takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
I think it's that safety is everybody's responsibility.
It's not just the police's job.
It's not. And it's not something that you can just force on people.
You can't just snap your fingers and make it happen.
It takes all of us being involved, being informed.
And being willing to work together.
Exactly.
So it's about looking beyond those simple answers, embracing the messiness of it all, figuring out what our communities really need.
And realizing that the best solutions usually involve a mix of different approaches.
And I think the podcast really shows that even when things feel scary and uncertain, communities can come together.
They can. And create something better, something safer.
This has been a really eye-opening deep dive, and I hope it inspires all of you listening to look at what's happening in your own community.
Talk to your neighbors, get involved.
Maybe even start some conversations about how to make things better.
Because at the end of the day, safe streets, they benefit everyone.
They do. Well, that's it for this deep dive. Thanks for joining us.